John Freed's rock and roll big band with Right Now, Right Now, which was his theme song. And a man who was very prominent in New York radio circles for a period of 5 or 6 years, during the time that rock and roll came of age to a certain extent. We have as our guest this day a gentleman not only who had met Alan Freed, but listened to him on the radio on a regular basis, and I think used that to launch his own career in time. We're talking about one of the last giants of the doo-wop scene. We're talking about Kenny Vance, and he's here with us at WBGO. How are you, Kenny?
Good to see you. Nice to be here.
Alan Freed, you later were involved in the movie of his life called American Hot Wax.
Right.
And my impression of that film was that there was so much craziness going on around. I mean, there were 18 different people doing 18 different things all at once, it seems. I mean, was it actually like that?
It was very frenetic in those days because nobody really, it was a brand new thing, and nobody really knew what to do. So there were these older adults that became that came into the music business with not any musical training at all. These guys were guys who were like furriers that had a couple of bucks, and for $100, $300, you could make a record that could possibly sell a million copies. So there was brought a lot of people into the industry, and as kids, we would listen to the songs on Alan Freed, and we would go down in the subway and try to, you know, because of the echo chamber, and try to imitate the songs. And then we would go into the city because on the old 45s, the addresses of the record companies were there. And
you're
would know where we would take the subway from Brooklyn, and we would go to the little record companies. They basically had one room, and we would go in and try to audition.
It must have been a crazy time. You actually formed a group by the time you were in your mid-teens, right?
Yes, there was a group I joined called the Harbolites, and we went to 1697 Broadway, which is the Ed Sullivan Theater building, and there was a company there called Ivy Records, and they had Lullaby of the Bells by the Deltares, and the guy, the music guy who was there was George David Weiss.
Not well known as a songwriter.
He wrote What a Wonderful World.
Yeah, sure.
He wrote Elvis's Can't Help Falling in Love with You. And, of course, I didn't know any of that. And also wrote some standards before that. But now I guess he was trying to be in the rock and roll business. And he liked a couple of the songs we had, and he set up a session. And they brought Teacher Wilshire in.
Yes.
And he was the arranger. And he wrote out a chord chart. And we went into the studio, and it was like professional musicians, and we made a record. And actually, after we made the record, Cousin Brucey, now it's what, 1959, Cousin Brucey's on WINS, and he starts playing our record. And so now we had to go out and actually perform, but performing in those days was basically lip-syncing your record.
American Bandstand and all that.
Yeah.
How did Lieber and Stoller run into you? How did that come about?
Well,
was that an outgrowth of the Harbolites?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Basically what happened was we needed a manager. And so in 1697, there was a guy named Jim Gribble. And he managed the Mellow Kings, the Mystics, the Passions, the Jarmels, groups like that. And actually, Paul Simon and Al Cooper were both up there as songwriters. And Paul Simon was in one incarnation of the Mystics. And then a guy named Jay Traynor took his place. And we were up there. And we kind of bonded with Jay Traynor, And then a guy in our neighborhood by the name of Terry Phillips was working at Lieber and Stoller's office writing songs. They had a stable of writers. Phil Spector was one of them. Burt Bacharach was another one.
This is 60, 61, somewhere in there?
That's right.
Yeah.
Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich. And so this guy got us an audition with Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, and we wound up auditioning with Wisdom of a Fool by the Five Keys.
Great song.
And we sang it a cappella, and they liked it. And they basically made, the first record we made was Tonight from West Side Story. And the second record we made was She Cried, and it became a huge hit with Jay Traynor.
Okay. So, but you are a member of a quartet, a vocal quartet here, right?
Yes.
You're not singing lead?
No.
Did it ever cross your mind? Did it ever come up to you and say, hey, man, I could do this better than they're doing it?
No. I was
part of the team.
Part of the team. I was happy to be on the team.
Yeah. Jay and Americans had a pretty good run.
My God, yes.
How long did the band actually start? If you started in 62?
The first hit was in 62, okay. 61, basically. And then in those days, if you didn't have a hit to follow up the hit, and then you made another record and it also wasn't successful, basically you were out of show business.
Yeah.
You know, if you looked at what happened to the Flamingos and the Chantels and Frankie Lyman, they were done by 62. And so basically we kind of broke up. And in 64, I don't know, it was just sort of in our blood, let's get back together, let's do something. And Jay Traynor had moved on. He made a couple of records on his own. And we wound up getting this guy, Jay Black. And the first record that we cut with him was Come a Little Bit Closer.
Okay. And then followed?
Followed by Let's Lock the Door, Think of the Good Times, and then Karamia.
Must we say goodbye each time we part? My heart wants to die.
That was Kenny Vance singing Karamia. And Karamia is the one everybody remembers.
Yeah, yeah.
So when this band is coming to a conclusion, say, what, late 60s?
In the late 60s, we had opened an office and, production company, emulating Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller.
Sure.
And one day, two guys walk in from Bard College, Donald Fagen and Walter Becker. And I started to make some recordings with them and actually put them into the last incarnation of Jay and the Americans. So Donald played keyboard and Walter played bass.
Mm.
And that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, nice little notch on your belt there.
So that lasted until they left in about 70. And a couple of months after that, basically, it just wasn't going anywhere, and it wasn't fun anymore. We had done it for maybe 10, 12 years, and so we moved on.
Right.
And that's when about a year or two went by, and that's when I met Joel Dorn.
For listeners who may be unfamiliar with Joel Dorn, he passed 6, 7 years ago, I guess, and maybe even longer than that now. But the fact of the matter is this. He was a very good friend to this radio station and often appeared during our fund drives and contributed lots of very good advice to us through the years. Joel came to you with a project that I guess has lasted with you ever since then, right?
Unbelievable. He found the song Looking for an Echo, written by Richie Reischig. And he brought it to me. He basically signed me to Atlantic Records. He had the power to sign me. And we didn't really know what we were doing basically in terms of material. And one of the songs that we recorded was Looking for an Echo, and it came out and the record bombed. And so we kind of went our separate ways. Joel went on to produce Don McLean, and he went on to produce
Rosanne Roland Kirk. Doing a lot of jazz stuff.
Yusef Lateef. Yeah. And I wound up, luckily, working in the film business. And I worked on American Hot Wax and Animal House and The Warriors. And then in 1984, Eddie and the Cruisers.
That was a big deal, wasn't it?
Eddie and the Cruisers, yeah. Thank God for that. It wound up selling like 4 million albums.
Wow.
But what happened was that in 1990, I get a call from Richard Nader, who was the responsible for
the oldie shows, the revival.
Oldie revival shows with Fats Domino and
Little
Jerry
Richard
Lee Lewis,
Little
Rich,
yeah.
Everybody, Bill Haley and the Comets. And he said, I'm doing a show at the Nassau Coliseum. You want to come out and sing Looking for an Echo? So I said, you know, what are you talking about? I didn't even know.
You'd forgotten
I was in a movie business.
Right.
I didn't even know that there was still like an oldie scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out there with the guitar. And everybody was still there. Everybody was good. Jimmy Bowman and the Skyliners, Herb Cox and the Cleftones, the Dubs, I think it was Laverne Baker, and the guy that did Do You Want to Dance?
Bobby Freeman.
Bobby Freeman was there. So I was in heaven. All the people that I loved as a kid. And at some point near the Cadillacs were there. Everybody had the dance steps, the outfits.
Yeah.
And so at some point, he introduces me to a lukewarm reception. And I get up there, and I'm sitting on a chair, and I'm singing Looking for an Echo acoustically.
Mm-hmm.
And the place is silent. And I end the song, and then I thought, oh, my God, I bombed.
Yeah.
And I just started to sing some falsetto at the end,
mm-hmm.
and I hit this real high note at the end, and the place goes crazy. And I think, hey, I could do this. So basically that was the beginning of forming the Planetones.
We're going to hear the original version of Looking for an Echo as it was recorded, and jazz fans will recognize Willis Gator Tail Jackson as contributing to the track as well.
Yes, he was.
At Erasmus Hall High School, we used to harmonize, me and Benny and Ira and two Italian guys. We were singing oldies, but they were newies then. And today when I play my old 45s, I remember.
Okay, so now you've done this for Richard Nader, and you've said to yourself, hey, maybe there's something here.
Mm-hmm. So I decided to put a group together. So I called the guys that originally, when I did American Hot Wax, part of the job, which was so great, was to recreate the Alan Freed show that I had seen as a kid in Brooklyn. So I put together the band. Buddy Collette was on sax.
Yep.
Paul Griffin on piano. Paul's
a wonderful player.
Wonderful player. And Nino Tempo.
Also a saxophonist.
Right. So I had the Alan Freed band, and we needed some groups. So I put together one group called the D-Lights, and they imitated the Bobettes, Mr. Lee, and the Chantels. And one of the girls in that group was Brenda Russell, and who wrote the music for The Color Purple. on Broadway.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I needed another group, the Planetones, you know, so I called up Bruce Sedano, Eddie Hokanson, and Joe Esposito.
So it was a completely fictional group that you created for the movie.
That's right. And then that was a one-time thing. And then in 1992, when I started the Planetones, Eddie was available, Eddie Hokanson. And I got Jerry Friedman, who played on a lot of Atlantic records. He played on Supernatural Thing, guitar, with Benny King. And basically, we started the Planetones and with Joe Esposito, Murray Weinstock, that's sort of, I thought incorrectly, that if you had guys who were talented, people would book you. But I was mistaken because we couldn't draw anybody.
Couldn't get on the radio.
So they wouldn't pay us. And so slowly, one by one, the guys had to leave and figure out how they could make a living. But slowly, it took about 10 years before it caught on. And we made a bunch of CDs in that time. And people liked the CDs, and different people played them. And what had happened was that Looking for an Echo, over almost a 20-year period, had become a cult classic, being played on all of these mom-and-pop stations, oldie stations all over the country. And so that gave us some notoriety. And then we were known as the guys who did Looking for an Echo.
And then you run into Joel Dorn again?
I did run into Joel Dorn again when we were starting to record our second CD, and Joel had opened 32 records. So he was, you know, always there for me. And he says, come on, let's do it. And we made this record. What's it called there?
Looking for an Echo.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Looking for an Echo.
That's the remake. He actually included the original version on it as well.
And we made a record of, we did a great record on Hey Senorita, the flip side of Earth Angel.
Oh, and This I Swear.
Swear was nothing like the original record. Oh. It's almost a jazz record.
My love for you will last till time itself is through. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling. Senorita, now that you are mine.
Well, what's interesting to me is you can take these songs that are well known, and this has been, I think, one of the things that you've done since the Planetones have started to make the CDs again, is you make people hear a song that they think they know, but you do it sometimes just subtly differently, and all of a sudden you say, well, this is the way it ought to be done.
Well, Joel, you know, kind of gave me permission to do that. And, you know, I would play it for him, and it was kind of like I remembered it in my imagination. And if it was coming from a place of truth, he was in.
Yeah, absolutely. Great guy, Joel Dorn. You're working on a new project.
Working on a new CD, yes, with Johnny Gale.
Johnny Gale's been a part of your band for quite a while now, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and it's been a great marriage, the two of you.
It's true.
I mean, it really does. He's a hell of a guitar player.
Yeah.
You want to play something? You want to play some ideas that you have for upcoming things?
We don't
need to make them.
You mean live?
Sure.
Yeah, I could try. If it doesn't come out, we could start over, I guess.
That Johnny Ace thing you were doing earlier, that's great.
Balance okay? Just let me love you tonight. Forget about tomorrow. My darling, hold me tight and never let me go. Dry your eyes. No tears, no sorrow. Just cling to me with all your might and never let me go. My darling, you are wonderful. You're everything to me. I thank the Lord from above, sending me someone to love. Please be mine. Your love, your lips. Let me tell the world that you are mine and never let me go. Never let me go. Never let me go.
Applause, please. Kenny Vance and his guitar, Never Let Me Go. Wonderful song. It's, you know, it's funny how you've been able to find, in my estimation, you find the really good songs from the back in the era. Things that we probably heard all our lives, but the fact of the matter is you make them a little bit different each time out, and believe me, that's appreciated. Of all the CDs you made in the past, I think Lover's Island is my favorite. I don't know why, but the version of Diamonds and Pearls, you do two different versions of that. Why did you issue both versions on the CD? What did you hear differently?
Well, one is an a cappella version of it, and then basically one is kind of a... Some of these songs, like... They're like folk songs to me. They're like songs that we grew up with. It's like the Christmas, that we're talking about the Christmas CD before. To me, the songs are, they're ingrained in our consciousness. They're the folk songs of America, the way I see it.
Well, yeah, sure.
You know, so that CD. And then actually on one of the Lost and Found CDs that I gave you, we do another version of Diamonds and Pearls, which to me is the definitive version of it.
Well, why don't we play that? Kenny Vance and the Planetones with Diamonds and Pearls. Armand DeSante.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about him. My wife goes nuts every time she sees him on the screen.
Yeah. He's, you know, I remember when we were First of all, Armand DeSante plays Vinny from Vinny and the Dreamers in the movie Looking for an Echo. And I remember when we were all getting together in the production office and everybody's there and except Armand. And then he walks in. He was wearing a suit, white shirt and tie, and he walks in and it's drop dead, you know, he's a movie star.
Sure.
And he walks in and he was totally cool, you know, good guy, great guy. And I love that movie.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it, and if you put that together with American Hot Wax, and they were done, I guess, well, no, they were done about 20 years apart.
Yeah,
they?
Yes.
But you really get a feel for what that music was all about by the people who were making it. And I'm sure I'm only one of many people who thank you for what you accomplished in that area. Looking for an Echo, imagine that, a film about a song that never got off the ground. How do you figure that?
I understand.
Yeah. For those of you who have not seen Looking for an Echo or American Hot Wax, I commend both of them to you. The latter is better, I think, from a dramatic point of view, because it's just a really interesting story about how everything develops there.
It's true, but I think what you picked up on about American Hot Wax is the spirit of that time. I think Grail Marcus, I think when he was with Rolling Stone, he said American Hot Wax is the most emotionally accurate movie of that time.
It's look, when you're kids, you don't really understand anything. You don't even know what the people who are singing look like, you know. It's all you know is what you like.
Right.
And you don't need anybody to tell you what's good or what's not good. If you like it, you like it, and that's all that matters.
Right.
And to find a radio station that plays what you like, that's the goal in life, man. It's yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff has kept you together for all these years.
Unbelievable.
And
it's true.
And it's what a story it is. It's quite something. You ought to write a book. Have you ever thought about that?
I've thought about it, but you have to like my naivete when I started the Planetones, thinking that if you do something good. People will pick up on it. You have to, it has to have marquee value.
Sure.
So,
but your story is unlike any that I can remember. It's we all know people, the rags to riches story, things like this, but yours has so many twists and turns and so many unusual involvements and stuff like that. It's been a good thing for you.
Yeah, thank
absolutely.
You. Yes,
Kenny Vance has been our guest. You want to play one more for the folks? Anything?
Sure. You're my love, you're my angel, you're the girl of my dreams. I'd like to thank you for waiting patiently. Daddy's home, Daddy's home to stay. How I've waited for this moment to be by your side. Your best friend wrote and told me you had teardrops in your eyes. Daddy's home, Daddy's home to stay. It wasn't on a Sunday. It wasn't on a Tuesday afternoon. But I made a promise that you treasure. I made it back home to you. how I've waited for this moment to be by your side. Your best friend wrote and told me you had teardrops in your eyes. Daddy's home. Daddy's home to stay. I'm not 1,000 miles away.
Thank you so much. Kenny Vance, the Planetones, if you get an opportunity, do not miss them. They are the authentic voice of a time that's not coming back. So get out there and get a chance to hear what it was all about. Thanks for coming by, baby.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.